That's not how you spell house, Sean.
Well,
studio is my house.
Well, hello there, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Confused Breakfast Podcast. Do you remember the pure joy of a trip to the video rental store as a kid?
Somewhat.
The excitement of walking down the aisles, browsing the names and the artwork, and finally picking out the movie you're going to take home with you. Sure, it's hard to beat the ease of the modern era and streaming platforms where you don't even have to leave your couch, but there was something truly special about making that trip, picking a movie out by hand strictly because of how much your girlfriend loves that title track from the Aerosmith song, and watching it when you got home. On this podcast, we revisit and dissect some of our favorite childhood movies from that magical era to see if they still move us the way they did as kids. I'm your host, Mike Schulte. Joining me, as always, two dudes handicapped by a natural immaturity. Sean Pryor and AJ Venz, how the heck are you?
Every time I close my eyes,
don't
I see Ben Affleck in between your thighs, and I miss you, babe.
And I don't want to piss in face.
So good.
Yeah.
So you guys are doing good?
Doing good. Let's pump it up.
It's a good song.
No, I tried.
I tried. It's not good.
Tried to hold a straight face.
I stopped vaping, so let's go.
Well, guys, first of all, we're happy you're joining us because normally we dissect movies and we have a good time. This is special because we picked the entire month of May to do May of Bay Uncaged. And that means
yeah, daddy,
two movies in a row by Michael Bay. The third movie, Michael Bay and Nicolas Cage, yep, followed by a fourth and a fifth Nicolas Cage movie.
We cross it over, and then we get to Cage, yeah.
We are so excited you're here. So on
this came up.
Yeah?
This came up because me and my friends have movie nights. This came up, and I wanted to do a marathon of Nicolas Cage movies. And so I created May Uncaged. And then drunken one night in Astoria, Oregon... all of us came up with, how about we do Michael Bay movies as well? How about we combine them and do May of Bay Uncaged? Here you are. Congratulations to you.
This is what happens when you have friends and you appreciate each other's ideas.
Yeah.
It's really what it comes down to.
That's it.
Well, boys, on today's episode, starting May of Bay Uncaged, we discuss a mega, huge summer blockbuster movie. Our first movie with Bruce Willis in it.
No.
No?
Not true.
What movie was it?
Fifth Element.
Fifth Element,
damn
babe.
It. Yeah, I'll tell you why later that's a mess up. But, strike that.
Strike that from the record.
A movie that the director has admitted is his worst film.
He says it a lot about his movies. So we'll get there.
I also have to say no, because it's like, no, never mind. I'm going to let this go.
One of two different world-ending asteroid movies released that exact same year. We are, of course, talking about 1998's Armageddon.
Well, damn, dang it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for another nostalgic journey to the past with The Confused Breakfast. Sit back, relax, and enjoy wherever you are in the world. Take it away, boys.
Well, if you are new to this podcast, we're going to be reviewing Armageddon scene by scene with modern eye. But in order to do that properly, we always talk about nostalgia first. We got to talk about the first time you saw this movie and what your thoughts were so we could strip it away. AJ, first time you saw this movie, what's your 0 out of 10 rating?
I wanted to see this movie so bad because other people were watching it. People were going in the theaters, and I wanted to, too. I didn't get to. So I got to see it on, it was a VHS rental. It was a rental, but it was, I won't call it like a full family rental or something like that. But we watched it, I watched it with one of my brothers, my dad. Action movies.
Yeah
dude, Bruce Willis. But I remember being just terrified of the, what would you call it? The second open? The third open of the meteors destroying the city?
Yep.
I was like, not the dog!
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, thank God the dog's okay, even though that big guy's lying dead with his head blown off.
Yeah.
I was terrified of it. So this actually, it scared the hell out of me as a kid. So, but I did watch it. I wanted to be tough because I was watching my brother and my dad. Two Fs, tough. And so I would probably give this a 5.8.
Nice.
5.8 for AJ. Yeah. Sean, what about you, man?
I was the same way. As soon as this came out on rental, we got it. And I was obsessed with the Aerosmith song. I loved it. I loved it
almost
so much.
Almost as much as Seal and Batman and Robin.
Exactly. Right? Okay. It's akin to that.
Did you do the thing where you closed the door of your room and you played it really loud and you pretended you were on stage singing it to a girl that you loved?
Did you watch me back then? Were you like my? Did you have like a camera? In my, yeah,
I did the same thing. I did the same thing.
Okay, good. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I've come up with whole routines to impress girls with this song. But yeah, I was routine, you know.
Yes.
I watched this movie and yeah, it was kind of like that, like watching it with like my brother and my mom, and like it's an action movie, it's all really cool, but it was around the time where I started to get feelings, you know. Like I liked the love
down there.
I liked the love aspect of the movie with Liv Tyler and Ben Affleck, and then Bruce Willis is just awesome. But back then I loved it. I'd probably say like this movie's a fucking 8.
Yeah, dude. I was, what was this, 98? So I was like 16, I think I went and saw this in the theater with like my first girlfriend.
Ooh.
And I think it was like the makeout movie, right?
Nice.
Yeah. So I think we saw it like a couple months later at the end where there wasn't that many people in there. And it's like, cool, the lights go down. It's time to make out for 2 hours straight.
Time?
That's what we do.
Uh-huh.
So I do remember it being
awesome. Getting boring to you? It's like, no.
No, this is awesome.
I love making out.
Do you think I could touch your butt like from outside your pants? Cool.
I think so.
Because that's awesome.
Mike's sitting there just like, hang on, shut up.
I want to make out.
But I do remember it being a fun movie, but it's way fun because I got to make out in the movie theater.
Yeah, nice.
So I'm going to give it a 6.9.
Oh, wow. Coming back strong. Dude.
Nice.
We got an executive producer, Josh Miller. He's going to say that, the summer of 1998, Armageddon and Deep Impact competing for my movie-watching dollars. I saw both. I think Deep Impact came out just a few weeks or months before Armageddon. I can't exactly remember. These were the years where there were competing movies with similar overall plots, yet wildly different stories and outcomes. The year before, we had Dante's Peak and Volcano. Mm-hmm. I had just graduated college and was beyond pumped for this movie. I want to say promotion really kicked into high gear during the 1998 Super Bowl. It's very likely that we started getting teaser trailers at the theaters in summer of 97, probably during Men in Black. How has Men in Black not been done yet? That was a side little bar.
Or
Event Horizon.
Will be done.
I want to see the supposed lost director's cut of that movie. Do we get to a movie in October? How about Event Horizon? I digress.
All right.
Armageddon was my most looked forward to movie in the summer of 98. And looking back, it was a stacked summer. Godzilla, Deep Impact, Saving Private Ryan, There's Something About Mary, Lethal Weapon 4, Truman Show, Blade, Rush Hour, and cannot forget Basketball. This had a great cast of established action actors, tons of up-and-comers, and who didn't get excited when that Bruckheimer Films logo came up?
Yeah.
I agree. I feel like I've always been able to take a movie for what it is, not look too deep into errors, continuity, bad dialogue to an extent. I love this movie through and through. It was one of the first DVDs I ever purchased. Basketball and Big Lebowski were the other two. As a matter of fact, I purchased it on DIVX, which is a short-lived and failed attempt at DVD rental that you didn't have to return. You had to have a DIVX-enabled DVD player that could connect via phone line and dial-up to the internet. Said movie for about $5. Once you started it, you had 48 hours to finish it. You also had the option to purchase unlimited viewings for $19 to $25. This is far from a perfect movie, I'll give you that, but it's a perfect summertime popcorn flick. I'm firing up the old Laserdisc player for tonight's watch. Cannot wait. Nostalgic score 8.0 because that's how many hours they had to drill.
So, tell us more about DVIX.
Dude, ahead of the time were they?
That you basically just described like Google and YouTube Amazon and everyone else to rent a movie.
You rent something on Amazon, it's like you have 48 hours to complete it.
Yeah,
otherwise
exactly.
You're fucked.
Once you start it, you got to finish it in 48 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So our group nostalgic rating is a 7.18, which is going to take you right around the middle. We're talking number 50, tied with Roadhouse nostalgically. Is how we feel about this movie.
I think that's perfectly on par.
Yes. So we are going to strip all that away, and it all starts with Sean. We got to learn the pertinent, important details of the movie, the shit we never cared about when this movie came out. We got to know now.
Still don't. Produced by Jerry Bruckheimer, Gail Ann Hurd, and Michael Bay. Story by Jonathan Hensley and Robert Roy Poole. Screenplay by Jonathan Hensley and J.J. Abrams, uncredited. Oh. Cinematography by John Schwartzman. He did the Jurassic World movies, The Little Things, which is that Denzel Washington movie.
Bush song.
HBO, yes, yeah. That song. And The Rock, so we will see him in a couple of weeks.
Oh, wow.
Hey.
Music by Trevor Rabin, directed by Michael Bay. Oh, it feels so good to say it. Oh, man. Cast.
<Does it?
laughs> No. cast: Bruce Willis, Ben Affleck, Liv Tyler, Michael Clark Duncan, Will Patton, Steve Buscemi, William Fichtner, Owen Wilson, Peter Stormare, Jessica Steen, Keith David, Billy Bob Thornton, and Ken Hudson and Campbell, our boy. That is a fucking stacked cast.
Yes. Hey-o. Guys.
The writer of the film, Deep Impact, said that Disney took notes from a meeting they had with him and wanted a counter movie off of Deep Impact at Disney. After Bruckheimer got a hold of the script, he had just about every writer in Hollywood at the time do a treatment for it, to the point where the people credited for the movie really don't even matter. It's like he had so many people do a rewrite on this that they just like pick. There's like, oh, credit him, and I guess him.
Whatever.
Basically, like this was a studio picture to a T.
It's like when you want to know who wrote a Taylor Swift song because you're covering it, and you need to pay the right songwriters, and there's 14 of them. Uh-huh. You're like, oh, that guy wrote the two words for the chorus, so he's a songwriter.
Right.
Yeah.
He's a songwriter now. Right. Oh, yeah. No, he changed it from La 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 to La La La.
Yeah.
Great.
Credit him. Give him credits.
So basically, on top of that, too, the writer of Deep Impact is animate about Disney stealing this idea.
I would agree.
I mean, it's
a different movie, but it's like, really?
Yeah, it's super weird how they're pretty related. Bruce Willis was cast in a pretty peculiar way. Willis was filming a comedy called Broadway Brawler and decided that was a shit show and wanted a way out of it. The head of Disney at the time worked out a deal where Willis would star in Armageddon and two more subsequent films, and Disney would also absorb the failed project's costs as an advance for Bruce Willis's initial salary. The two other movies Willis starred in were The Sixth Sense and Unbreakable.
Is this peak Willis? Have we entered peak Bruce Willis with this movie? Because Armageddon, Sixth Sense, Unbreakable, like those are three giant movies.
I would say this is his
second coming almost.
Yeah, right? This is where you put his name on the poster and you automatically get your money back pretty much. Some of the scenes that featured shots of the surface of the asteroid were shot in the Badlands of South Dakota. Armageddon was released on July 1st, 1998, and on a budget of $140 million, the film made $553.7 million, was nominated for four Academy Awards, and gave Aerosmith their only number one hit. So I just wanted to add that. Just needed to add that.
You needed Bruce Willis and your hot daughter to get it done, didn't you?
Yeah, we'll do whatever it takes.
That's right.
Just singing over my daughter getting diddled. That's
with the animal crackers.
She just called it that.
Slow down, guys. We'll
Dude
get
looks
there.
Like a lady. Daughter gets diddled.
Oh, no.
Well, listen, we are a podcast that we're so grateful you guys listen to us. There are so many things to choose from out there. We're glad you're here. In order to keep this free, keep this moving, keep our spirits up, we only ask two things. We ask one, that you go pick one of our favorite episodes, like pick an episode that you love,
Jaws.
Send it directly, screenshot it, hit the little share icon, send it to someone and be like, you gotta listen to this. That is number one. That is the best way you can help us. The second best way, go to patreon.com/confusedbreakfast. That is where you can directly monetarily support this podcast for as low as $3 a month.
Wow.
And the higher up you go, you get all kinds of perks like voting on upcoming movies, private Discord server. We do a bonus weekly episode every single week. There's over 100 of them waiting for you. You sign up, boom, you can listen to all of them and then cancel. Like, you can do that. Last couple weeks we talked about, we argued that the 70s was one of the best decades of movies ever.
Yes, sir.
We had that conversation. We always like to update you on what's coming up next. So check it out, patreon.com/confusedbreakfast. Up next, we got to go to AJ. We got to talk about the research, the ratings, critics, fans, reviews. What do you got, man?
Guys, we got to go out to outer space so we can figure out the tomato meter.
All right. I don't like that one.
Gross. You got to blow it up. I don't know.
Nope.
38%, guys.
Okay.
It's a big old splat. I was shocked when I saw
it. I was too. That's bottom 20 of any movie we've done. Bottom 20. That's crazy. Is slightly better than Roadhouse. Slightly worse than Bloodsport, per the critics.
We were kind of on the pulse with Roadhouse there.
Audiences disagree. 73% by audiences. 6.7 on IMDb.
6.7 ties us with Billie Jean and Running Man for any movie we've done.
Right on.
Per the audience, that's how they feel.
Still great company, but by IMDb standards, absolute garbage.
They are. It is, right? In my mind, those two movies are so much better than this movie, but it's in a different world. Is that like one of the biggest discrepancies, 71 and 38?
No, there's some wild ones.
Boondock Saints was a huge one.
Speed, the critics just thought Speed was the greatest movie ever.
And then audiences did.
And audiences were like,
well.
Damn it. I should be a critic.
You should. You should be like these people, Sean. Yeah. David Anson at Newsweek gave it an 80. Armageddon is an irresistible as it is indefensible.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that makes a lot of. Honestly, that makes a lot of sense.
David Edelstein, at Slate gave it a 70 out of 100. Armageddon is awesome, dude, but it's like short on awe.
Shit.
Another 70 from LA Weekly. We have the movie is ridiculous, but since the special effects are really quite impressive, that seems a small point.
The point is moot.
0 out of 100, guys.
You can do that.
Yeah, you can do 0 out of 1 too. The Washington Post, Stephen Hunter. So predictable, it could have been written by a chimp who's watched too much TV. The huge movie is as dumb as it is loud, and it's way too loud.
Okay, cool.
Fair enough.
There's no sound in space.
We'll get there. Why is it so loud? It should be dead quiet.
Why is there fire?
Why is there water? It's raining.
Why is there grass on the
outside? Why is there grass?
There's grass on the outside.
Why are we destroying this ecosystem?
Do people... Are there aliens out there? Is there life?
We don't know.
We don't know. Blew it up.
Fuck them.
Fuck them.
Fuck them, dude.
America, dude.
Keep going.
I'm gonna try. Let's do bad first. I'm gonna do bad first. Complete waste of time and money. 1 out of 10 said RWC 4520 in 1998. This movie was one of the worst I have seen in years. Everything was predictable. The characters were caricatures. The dialogue was banal. The film was an insult to the intelligence. Gotcha. I wanted to say this one. This is a 1 out of 10. The antithesis of 2001. This movie reminds me of an 8-year-old boy playing with a toy airplane. He wants it to go real fast. So he waves it around as fast as he can while frantically making whooshing noises. I hope its film was fun for the 8-year-olds who made it, because it sure wasn't fun to watch for 2.5 hours. If I get this part's stupid. If I get to be a demon charged with punishing Bruckheimer and Bay, I'll duct tape them to a chair and make them watch 2001. Fans of Armageddon keep arguing that a film can be silly or even stupid but still be entertaining. I agree. The Fifth Element falls into this category.
No.
That's about all I was expecting from Armageddon. Instead, I saw 150 minutes of the worst editing and screenplay I've ever seen.
Yikes. I mean, you're not wrong at those last two things, but I think you can have fun with a stupid movie. And a kid is taking an airplane. Don't you have a fucking imagination, idiot?
I like that.
Let it go.
I like that imagery.
Can't you just have it? Can't you just let them have it? Just let the 8-year-old have it. That's not how airplanes work, you fucking idiot kid.
Did you make $557.8 billion, whatever the fuck? No, I don't think you did. Off of 8-year-old's idea.
Somebody compared this to the editing being done by Edward Scissorhands.
I have a stat that I can't wait to tell you guys.
It's a really great mental image.
I want one more as a 10 out of 10. This is... somebody else called it Michael Bay's visual masterpiece. And this person decided that it was a model of action movie. Yannick Berkey said in 2022, I wanted a very current one for this that was good. In 2022, this is the fifth time I've seen this movie, and I still feel that even if it has aged a bit, it's a masterpiece of an action movie. The action is at its peak from the first to the last minute. The humor is perfectly measured, and since it's a slightly older movie, you don't feel like you're watching actors playing in front of a green screen.
Cool.
Nice.
No, because they built all the sets and they looked like a stage set. That's basically why. They didn't use green screens. They used...
I would rather that, yeah, to be honest.
You're right. So, there was people who loved this very recently.
Well, thanks, Age.
You're welcome.
Well, my friends, this episode is sponsored by HelloFresh. I have to be honest with you. I had quite possibly the worst 2 weeks of my life medically recently. Like, mind-blowing, eye-opening experiences that are forcing me to make some changes. I'll tell you all about it in this week's bonus Patreon episode. Sean and AJ don't even know half the stuff I'm about to tell them. But because of these issues, I've made an utter commitment to eating healthy. Instead of door-dashing dinner because we're exhausted from work and have this rambunctious 10-month-old baby, we've been getting down on the HelloFresh train. Not only is it cheaper than ordering delivery, 25% or more cheaper, by the way, but it's also cheaper than buying groceries and without the hassle of going there and thinking of a recipe and buying the right ingredients. Aside from saving us money, HelloFresh also makes dinner time a snap with deliciously easy options that pleases everyone in their house. We all have different taste buds for sure. From fit and wholesome to pescatarian to veggie, they have a meal plan that suits your lifestyle. Plus, you can swap out proteins and sides to your liking. I've only been good at one thing, cooking, and that's the manliness of grilling, of like grilling meats. Yeah, I make hot dogs better than anyone. And
or when
I
can you're vegetarian, oh, portobellos.
Wow. Boca burgers.
Boca burgers.
But also, like, other than that, I could also make like sandwiches.
Yeah.
And so the other day,
yes,
I'm trying to be healthy. I'm trying to get my mind off some stuff. So I'm looking at a HelloFresh thing and I'm like, I'm going to cook this.
Yeah.
It's a full blown pasta meal. And I just like was losing my mind going, I'm going to screw this up. I went through all the directions. I read everything. It was clear. The ingredients were there. It was the easiest thing I've ever done. And the meal was insanely awesome. It was this like pesto pasta. And then I fed it to Molly. I've never seen her look at me like that. Like, it was like, that's a man right there who can finally cook. It was unbelievable. Like, I was impressed with myself. My wife was impressed. And I'm like, I had to just cook that first one to know I could do it. So no joke, you need HelloFresh in your life. Trying to save money, check. Trying to eat better, check. Trying to impress someone with your cooking skills, check. That's all if you sign up on your own. But if you go to HelloFresh.com/ConfusedBreakfast16 and use code ConfusedBreakfast16, you get 16 free meals. 16 free meals plus free shipping. That is HelloFresh.com/ConfusedBreakfast16 for 16 free meals plus free shipping. I think you should try it. I think they're incredible. And also, we can't tell you how important it is for you guys to not only go out, try these things, use our sponsorship code, because you're going to get something out of it, but you're directly supporting us by telling these sponsors that our audience is awesome and that they can trust us to sell things to them. So please go check it out. Well, boys, a world-ending asteroid is headed to Earth. We only have one chance to save the planet, so let's get our best team of astronauts prepared and ready to go, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, duh.
Wrong.
Oh.
Let's get some roughneck oil driggers and train them how to be astronauts. Basically, a group of guys that will ensure that no trannies are blown. They say that in the movie. They say blowing trannies.
They do.
Because that's what they do. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's pucker time. Here we go.
Armageddon it.
This movie begins with a brief history of an asteroid impact on Earth roughly 65 million years ago. Switching to modern day, we see a space shuttle destroyed by a meteor shower and the impacting chaos in New York City. NASA discovers that an asteroid the size of Texas will collide with Earth in 18 days, effectively destroying the planet. The scientists at NASA devise a plan to detonate a nuclear bomb under the asteroid's surface. They send out for Harry Stamper, regarded as the world's best deep core driller.
Hell yeah.
They find him on an oil rig and bring him to NASA. Can I talk about the intro real quick?
Yeah,
so right away I'm kind of like, I actually really like this.
Neil deGrasse
Tyson.
Like,
in the beginning.
Yeah, no, they tricked me because I'm watching this. Yeah. I'm like, CGI is not bad. Like, yeah, this is kind of some cool exposition.
You saw that?
Okay. Time out.
Okay.
They tricked me.
Okay.
And then the fucking title shows up and explodes. Like, even the title blows up. And then I realize it's Charlton Heston.
Oh, it is?
Charlton Heston,
yeah.
That piece of shit reading the fucking intro. Like, I'm like, you tricked me. I thought this was a cool intro.
And then they name their main character after Charlton Heston's penis, Harry Stamper.
The best Harry deep Stamper. Oil driller in the world.
Yeah, man, can drill deeper than anyone. Oh,
he'll
Harry
get
Stamper.
Deep in there.
Harry Pumper.
That Stamper will get so deep. Oh, man.
I don't know. That intro is like, wow. We are like, we could not have picked a better movie to start May of Band Cave with that fucking in. The title explodes.
You get Michael Bay right off the bat. It is just, it's crazy. And I saw
a Bay Ruckheimer film.
Yes. I saw something on YouTube that had, it was like a special features, like a behind the scenes with Leonard Nimoy. So you had him.
You couldn't
get him to do it instead of Charlton Heston? Come on.
This is this is 99. When did that Columbine documentary come out? This is like a couple years later when whatever his face went and Charlton Heston, whatever, it's stupid.
I mean, it's a good movie. I know what you're saying. It was like around.
Why him?
I don't know.
Who cares?
I don't know.
Overall, do you like the fact that you've got this? Remove the fact that it is whoever. do you like the exposition idea of like, hey, this happened before.
I do.
It was like the dinosaurs basically and what wiped them out.
AJ, this is like the first world destruction. This is the first 2012 San Andreas ever. Like, right? There's never been a film like this.
Okay.
And they have to remind you that this could fucking happen.
This is this could be real.
And
deal.
They have to do that from sorry. Otherwise, you're like, yeah.
Okay.
Whatever.
Then let me ask you another question. Follow up question. How many times do you think this has happened in our life and we just never knew about it?
Several hundreds of times.
Yeah. Like you've just got Billy Bob Thornton being like, fuck.
I don't think so.
You don't think it has happened ever?
No, I do. I think I actually know. that it has happened. Like
you mean a close call?
Yeah, like
close calls of
a hair.
Like a hair
away
meaning
from
like a million miles away.
We're just floating in infinite. That's what we're doing. We're just a rock floating in infinite. And we've never collided with any other rocks. You know what I mean?
Dude, just imagine.
Dude, we're on a fucking spinning rock.
Yeah, dude.
Just flying through space at 2 million miles an hour.
Tell me, bro.
We're worried about fucking, Kardashians.
Dude, and fucking taxes, bro. Taxes are just a state of mind.
It's fucking mind-blowing.
Dude, time is a construct, bro. Just time is a construct. It's man-made.
World keeps turning until it doesn't. You know?
So, I just think there is a point where I think that's where my mind goes all of a sudden is like, oh, gosh, I wonder how many times this has actually happened.
Yeah.
But we just didn't get to the point of like the news got out. Yeah. Right. It blows my mind. But there's like 4 intros to this.
Oh, my God.
You know?
It is.
Well, like the guys in space, too. Right. Like they're like working on the space station or whatever. They don't see that coming.
No.
They don't see a bunch of asteroids coming straight for them.
They didn't hear it.
I like it too though because I gotta imagine if you're an astronaut, like I guess you don't want to say it because you have a problem, but if you're an astronaut, like the thing you want to say is like, Houston, we have a problem. Like that would be awesome to say, you know? And I like that like their ship explodes right before he can get it out. It's just like, Houston, we have a like, oh man.
There's a Minus the Bear song called Houston, we have uh-oh. I kind of like that too. That'd be a good one.
Yeah, it's kind of all he got out.
Uh-oh.
Why is it all I can think of right now is like some sort of like Tom and Jerry cartoon thing of since there's no sound in space, it's a meteor like sneaking up on astronauts at a space station. Like, oh, oh, oh,
hey, hey,
huh?
I love this movie. Like you said, there's so many fucking intros though. Like now we're establishing this character who's played by Eddie Griffin.
Yes.
Eddie Griffin.
And we're like, and I was watching this going, oh fuck, I don't want this to be the main character. Like, like it just the annoying guy that talks too much.
Reggie, you gotta take a nap.
Like, no, I don't want this. And they fully establish him, then they fully establish Mark Curry as the taxi cab driver who's hanging with Mr. Cooper.
Why wasn't that Tone Loc?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, hanging with Mr. Cooper, it was probably just ending around that time. But they established these guys, and they were like, no, they're fucked.
Yeah.
Game over for them. Okay, let's move on.
Yeah. Let's just you know what? I actually like that a lot. I love movies that will do this, and they will build some expectation.
You like Game
and
of like, Thrones, don't you?
You bet.
Okay, there you go.
Even though I hate it. You love to hate it, right? Mm-hmm. Or you hate to love it. You're just like, no, I like it when they're going to build some rapport with these characters and just have no problem, just no qualms with just being like, gotcha.
This movie's already so long.
Oh yeah, they didn't need this.
It's like we just show the asteroids hitting the space station, and then everybody going ah, and it's hit New York.
You
like,
paid,
why do we need that?
You had a whole nother set and location and budget for this 3 minutes.
We needed it.
We needed the Godzilla eating dog.
We need it,
dude. Did you read about that dog?
That dog.
The dog in the opening was trained to specifically destroy Godzilla figures, and they shipped him in on set for a price of $20,000 a day. They had to hold cardboard boxes in front of the Godzilla dolls to keep the dog from destroying them until it was time to film. Michael Bay also notes that, as a rule, you never kill a dog in a movie.
Oh, duh.
So we like him for that.
All I can think of is that Jerry Bruckheimer, like, heard about this Godzilla-eating dog. It's like, hey, how much money do we have for the opening scenes? Great, let's use $60,000 to get this dog. I think it'll be badass.
I think it'd be so funny.
But don't kill it. Jerry, it's just hanging there.
Jerry, check this video out, dude.
Jesus, TikTok. Have you seen that TikTok?
This dog's fucking killing the shit. Dude. You guys see that?
Oh, we should get him in the movie.
Oh, dude, yeah. Let's fucking do that. I'm messaging this bitch right now.
I'm going to tell this person we should do this.
There's so many messed up continuity areas in this whole thing. But like even one of them, the dog is biting a small Godzilla, and it goes to a wide shot, and he's biting a giant Godzilla.
A giant Godzilla? Is this like an inside joke that they had? It's just bad editing.
No one's paying attention.
It's bad editing, and it's just an overabundance of editing.
Yes.
Yeah.
So like it's Michael Bay. Obviously, this is a Michael Bay movie, but like the edits are so fucking fast, and there's so many like whip pans.
Is he telling them to do this?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
No. This is his job. Like he's doing these shots, and he is sitting in the editing bay with his editor, making sure these cuts happen. Each cut only lasts an average about 1.5 seconds in this whole movie.
No wonder we
any
all have
one shot
ADD
you see
now.
Any one shot you see does not last for 2 seconds.
You know, I was thinking about this because Michael Bay, this is his directorial debut.
No, Bad Boys.
Regardless, he got his start doing music videos. If you start thinking about what that created in his brain, he only had 3 minutes to like tell this crazy story. Oh, yeah. So he's doing these fast edits.
Yeah.
That's what he's used to. So when he's going to do a 2.5 hour long movie, he can't stand the sight of something lasting more than 3 seconds. He's like, come on.
He's like,
switch.
Like if
you've ever edited a music video, usually the rule of thumb is like the minute you find yourself going next, like subconsciously in your brain, the scene's already too long.
Yeah.
So like that's how his fucking brain works.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Damn.
He's going a mile a minute in this, but God forbid, make sure we slow down enough that we can Leo DiCaprio. There he is. There's Michael Bay cameo right there.
Yep.
Did you guys see him? He's one of the scientists and like doing the research. And like I love it because he looked like he was in like a Stouffer's commercial or something too. They're like, oh. Casserole's ready.
Yeah, like Michael some guy's on the phone and like he's revealed by like, we gotta do this. And he's like, okay.
Uh-huh. I'm on it.
We will spend so much time talking about every scene and we can't. But I mean, like, we'll talk about it later. This whole New York scene, like these little fucking asteroids are like tearing through buildings, but they're making like a little explosion on the ground. And then, like, cars 7 feet away are also blowing up for no reason. It's very conspiracy theory 9/11 kind of weirdness going on here. Like, a lot of explosions happening where there weren't bombs going off. That shot, shot at the end of the Twin Towers with holes in them is like, I think that got me more than any movie has ever got me where I've been like, whoa. Those are the towers.
Literally on fire.
And it's 3 years, less than 3 years before that happened. It's nuts. Yeah. I'm glad. I guess there was a petition for them to remove it.
Yeah.
No, you leave those.
Yeah.
I want to see those in movies. Don't take it out.
What was it? There was other movies that did the same thing. Spider-Man was one of them.
Don't take it out.
Involving the Twin Towers and stuff. And a lot of movies want to re-edit it.
Yeah.
And I'm glad they did not, you know.
I'm just glad we live in Iowa because nothing like this ever happens here.
No,
like, it only happens in New York or California or like
Paris,
Dubai, yep. Paris.
As you can see from all the extra shots that they use while the president is speaking at any point in time, it's just rural, God fearing, country loving America.
You bet. Dude,
just
America,
farm town. Like I'm sure I've driven down all those roads in Iowa
and
the
guy who plays the president, we will talk about in 2 more weeks.
Oh, good.
He plays the president in The Rock as well.
I don't want to jump ahead, but did you notice at the end when they are showing all those scenes of everyone listening to the address from around the world? It's daytime. Everywhere, all around the world.
Oh, good.
The asteroid must be somehow shining sun back to the Earth, whatever.
Yeah, well, it's like specific standard time, but then like there's the other side of the country, like Australia's doing just fine too. They're not asleep. You know?
Nobody else can come up with a plan to try and help this situation other than Americans.
Yeah, well, and
it's a good thing we're Americans.
You know, like other very, very progressive countries like Japan is going to be calling, being like, dude, why didn't you talk to us about this?
No, we got it. I'm pretty sure. We're going to hire some oil drillers to go up. And sit
oh, Harry
on
Stamper, he's done some work for us.
Harry Stamper, he's the best.
He's worked with us before. Yeah. Oh, you got Harry? Oh, okay. Well, we'll talk to you later.
He's bringing his crew? All right. Yeah, his crew.
I really think this scientist who was born to do this could actually help out. No. You're Japanese. We are American. Yeah. Not having it.
Dudes, did this movie, like, this is such an inside joke for any action movie. The doesn't matter where it hits. It's a global killer.
Yes.
Oh my God. Is this the first one? Like, is this created in any movie where there's utter destruction? Someone has to go, oh my God.
Oh my God. And I wish I had glasses right now. What am I thinking?
Dude, but it's unbelievable. Like, these are the reasons I love this movie. We get this plot where the president learns about it. We've seen the destruction. We know what's going to happen. The guy runs into the war room and says, we have 18 days. We learn the full plot of this movie in 11 minutes. 11 minutes in, we know everything that has happened and that now we have a problem we have to fix.
Yeah.
I love it. I'm like way into this for some weird reason.
It is true. There is something very, very like that you really appreciate about this, that they just don't linger. Right? Do you have to?
I'm sorry.
Do you have to let it linger? Michael Bay doesn't.
Nope.
Because he just wants he wants all his favorite actors and cameo appearances to run into rooms flashing papers and saying, we've got 18 days.
Yeah.
You know?
I love it.
He might as well have like one of those like hats with a new, like press card in it or something. But I do love it. It's done. We know. What are we going to do?
We're all in. Let's go.
And I love this idea of like, I need three teams. We need 11,000 people working on this. We are trying to figure this out. I love the urgency that Billy Bob Thornton brings to this whole thing.
Billy Bob Thornton's great. I want to talk about him a little bit more too. But
yeah.
To piggyback off what you guys are saying, this is pure popcorn movie.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
This is not like 2001 A Space Odyssey. Like the reviewers, like, I want to pry their eyes open in hell and make them watch a patient, steady movie for 3 hours. Like, no, this is Michael Bay doing an asteroid movie, a destruction movie, you know? Like, this is pure. You just stuff your face with popcorn and candy and drink Coke the whole time and probably sniff Coke because they did too.
At this point, you know, when you're like, if I'm a kid who. I would like I say, I've always loved action movies. Like that was one of the biggest things for me was like going to see action movies with like my brothers or dad, you know, hanging out with the boys and stuff. And this is quintessential that. Mm-hmm. And like you have to be able to love this for what it is and not compare it to what those people are talking about. Right. You should just be able to enjoy that and just like, yeah, I just need to take this all in along with an entire bucket of popcorn.
Even if after it's done, you're just like, that was fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
You still spent, it was an hour and 59 minutes well spent. In my mind.
Oh, yeah.
So every time you introduce a 5 o'clock shadowed clad, working for the weekend kind of guy in a movie, you have to play LaGrange by ZZ Top.
You have
It's required in movies.
Especially 90s, like late 90s, it's kind of required. Yeah.
All they needed to do was just have this song on repeat the entire movie.
Yeah.
That's all they needed to do. Even during that, like, hot love scenes and stuff like that, it's just, yeah, I'm going to have sex with you. Like, that's... That's Ben Affleck doing an Australian accent. That was my impression of that.
That was great.
Thanks.
And if you're not sold, if you're NASA and you're like, dude, I don't know if I'm sold on this Harry Stamper idea. We do have these guys. Like,
yeah.
Like they've been training their whole life. They're some of the smartest people in the world. Like we can train them how to drill. Well, let's just go see this Harry guy. You get on this oil rig and the head of the oil rig is shooting a gun all over the oil rig where there's explosives just everywhere. You got to at some point just be like, yeah, it's not going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
I can't trust this guy to be on an asteroid,
right?
With a machine gun chained to a new NASA rover. I just can't trust that.
Looks like he's kind of letting his emotions get in the way of a job.
Ooh,
maybe not so good in a life or death situation for the entire world.
That's an OSHA violation.
For
too.
A little calm, bit. Yeah? Little bit. For who's supposed to be so calm, cool, and collected, he is firing a gun. On an oil rig, which I think is as dangerous as firing a gun in space.
I think it's way worse.
Like, just going to put that out
there. At a human being.
At a human being.
No less.
Oh, we're just having fun. It grazed you. It's a gun.
You shot me.
It's a shotgun that has a wide spray.
Yeah. It's this. That's, and then I'm farther away, so it gets like this. And there's lots of BBs everywhere. That's how shotguns work.
And it's not his fault. I mean, it's not Harry Stamper's fault that he brought his hot 21-year-old daughter to live on an oil rig.
No, with a bunch of dudes.
It's not his fault. No. This is totally Ben Affleck, AJ's fault.
Right.
Yeah.
For falling in love with the only hot woman, the only woman on the oil rig.
Yep, who just happens to be Liv Tyler. Dang it.
Dang it.
She who as we've seen doesn't age. In other movies,
not
either Lord of the Rings,
she just turned 21 at this movie, I believe.
Yeah,
like she's
yeah,
but she still looks like on this movie. She looks like she's 35, and then now if she just did a movie today, she looks like she's 35.
17. Yes.
Yeah,
she's regressing. It's Benjamin Button all of
it. It is. It's like the next movie she does is like going to be. She's looking like she's in Empire Records. It's it's really weird.
Ooh.
But I do like I read something that they. Liv Tyler and Ben Affleck were friends before this, and like they're family friends from way back. Like their two families are buddy buddy, and so they were like pretty awkward doing the love making scenes and kissing each other, and they were just every time they did it, they were just like laughing. Like after they yelled cut or whatever, it's just like ah yeah.
So they that didn't fall sense. In love. Damn.
A lot of times, like a lot of people, and their criticism with this movie was like that the love angle was you could tell. Yeah. That it was like, what do we?
And they had to add it. Like this
it got me as a kid for sure,
dude. And it was if you want the all encompassing summer blockbuster, you got to be able to get teenage like feelings in there. You got to get that crowd too.
It was after Titanic, and it wasn't even in the movie, and they added it after because Titanic was such a huge thing that they wanted that love angle.
It makes sense,
guys. I want to take a moment to talk about our other sponsor and one of our favorite sponsors, Cedar Ridge Whiskey. I love Cedar Ridge Whiskey. The boys love Cedar Ridge Whiskey, probably because it's the best whiskey around. We love it so much. It's one of the best whiskeys in the world, distilled right here in our backyard of Swisher, Iowa. I love it. I can't wait to announce, or what you have announced, I can't wait to get to and let you guys try one of our whiskeys. But in the meantime, we recommend American Quintessential Single Malt, which is just one of the best Scotch whiskeys. You can't say Scotch in America anymore, but it's a single malt now. Mm. I would also love to recommend the Flagship Bourbon, which is just the quintessential thing you go to. That is the tip of the iceberg right there. Mm. Or the number 9 cask from them.
From Slipknot?
From Slipknot?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. There
fuck
it is. Yeah, dude. Right on. You can get a bottle yourself. You can ask a local retailer if they have it in stores, or you can go straight to their website, cedarridgewhiskey.com, and get a bottle for yourself. You will thank yourself. You will thank us. And your gut will thank it yourself as well.
Wait, that's a weird thought. Your gut's like, thanks, Sean.
Thanks for pounding this whiskey in me.
Hey, thanks. I hated you from that cruise ship and all the food you ate, but thanks for the whiskey.
I love that you did that to me. I hope it made you feel good.
Thanks, Sean.
Hey, one other thing they did just to prove how good the American quintessential single malt is, they just won double gold at the San Francisco World Spirits Competition.
They need to stop.
It's one of the best things you'll ever try.
That was their quintessential?
Yep.
Wow.
Right before it cut back to me, I finished this bottle all by myself. And I'm telling you, all right? You gotta fucking listen to me. Rather than getting any other goddamn fucking whiskey out there, you gotta get Surridge. It's 43%. Oh, 43%.
Okay. That's a lot.
Other than what I'm doing right now, you guys gotta drink responsibly, okay? Have some of this, but don't drive. Do it at home. Do it while you're watching a movie. Do it while you listen to this podcast or watching this podcast. CedarRidgeWhiskey.com.
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 I think I nailed it. I think I really nailed that.
Oh, yeah, we're going to do that again. All right, so scene two, Harry and his daughter Grace are briefed by NASA, and Harry takes the job but wants his crew to come with him to the asteroid. NASA agents go out to collect the crew and bring them to be briefed and begin training with the other astronaut team.
I fully believe of them, when they get there and everything, kind of this back and forth between Billy Bob Thornton and Bruce Willis, their characters, of NASA's at the mercy of this guy pretty much in this theory that they've built up. They've painted themselves into a corner that this is plan A and there is no plan B, and we need this guy essentially to make this happen. And so they are just like, you have to think, okay, I guess we have to tell his daughter too. Okay, I guess we got to deal with this guy. It's like, what if he said no? And they're like, all right, well, who's the second best deep core driver?
There's none.
Who's the guy on Yelp that's got 4.1 stars, or he's a 3.9?
It's a sponsored ad, like a sponsored Yelper. So yeah. It puts him up higher in the rankings.
He pays for it.
Yeah.
Is there like a, what do they call that? Like a Annie's List or something like that? It's like, well, better find another deep core driller then.
He's got experience on asteroids. That's good.
Oh, he's got outer world experience. Out of this world experience. Ooh, I love that. Okay.
They don't sponsor us, but ZipRecruiter is where you go to find some oil trailers.
Monster.com.
I heard you get at least one qualified candidate within the first 24
hours. That's weird. Wow. He's confused.
Come on, NASA.
I think before this too, where they're like briefing NASA itself, where Billy Bob Truman is briefing his people to go, like, what are we going to do? It's so funny because they're like all standing in a circle and the camera just like, as one person says something to like 10 other people, the camera just like swings around all of them and then ends on Truman saying like one line or something like that. Imagine like as a cameraman getting direction from Michael Bay, being like, okay. So for this, when that guy says this line, I want the camera to go, woo!
he makes the whooshy noise. Yeah.
And he's going to say a line, okay? And the cameraman is just like, why don't we just set it on a tripod and shoot the guy saying the line, and maybe we can get some inserts of reactions.
You're fired.
Static shots!
You're fired. Get off my rig.
Didn't you guys know that every set, they had a nickname for the sets for Michael Bay movies? They were called the Bay of Rigs is what it was, because there's just 800 camera rigs just everywhere to make sure they could get every single corner of that set.
That's good.
Drone landing pads.
Yes.
Nowadays.
Yes. Inside.
I don't understand. I love it. I love this montage of them going out to find all the crew. I love it. Love it. Because it's like, it's so dumb, but it like teaches us so much about every guy and we get to quickly learn it. And it's funny. But also, why did everyone leave? Like Harry gets off the rig for less than 24 hours and everyone leaves. AJ purchases and starts his own oil company in 24 hours.
So the guy said 18 days, right? This thing's coming. How much time has passed?
This is
for someone to get to Vegas.
This is my complaint because this happens several times in the movie.
Yes.
Of time jumps.
Oh no, everybody left.
If we're talking about an overall time frame of 18 days, we're talking about massive time jumps of days at a time that happen. And this is one of them. It's like, I think by that time it must be over the course of like 2 to 2.5 days.
It has to be.
Of finding these guys. Because when Harry leaves, he yells to Chick. He says He says, get them paid and get them off the rig because they got oil.
Okay.
They hit oil, right? And that's why everybody leaves. But then he says, when these guys get off the rig, they scatter. And you're just like, okay. And I love the montage, though. And I love, it's Aerosmith, but I love the song choice.
Which one did they pick? This is one of like four Aerosmith. Is it Sweet Emotion?
Yeah. Or no, I thought it was Come Together.
Yes, oh, you're right.
Come
you're
Together.
Right. Sweet Emotions at the other montage.
Right. Yes.
Yes.
Because we have the rights to
get it right.
Steven Tyler.
Yeah. So we'll just have Steven Tyler and Aerosmith play everything, including Come Together, because we couldn't get the Beatles. So, but I come and get Papa Bear.
It's an awesome montage.
It's a great montage.
And I have a question for Sean. Are you as big of a Ben Affleck fan as I am?
Probably.
Do you like Ben Affleck?
Yeah,
lukewarm. Like, really, I kind of like him.
I like
Who's
Ben
Luke?
Affleck. His brother, Luke.
I saw the barbed wire tattoo on Ben's arm.
Oh, yeah. No.
And I go, no, there's no way. Ben Affleck is a cool dude. Seems like he makes good choices in life. I bet that was just like a part of his character, right? So I Googled it. Ben Affleck not only does have a barbed wire tattoo, he has very terrible choices in tattoos. He has a giant colored phoenix on his entire back. And he also has a little dolphin right above his like love handles, like right above his waistline right there. He's made some terrible
Does he also have the infinity sign that goes into feathers?
Yes.
On his right ankle? Probably.
Yeah. He's got a dream catcher on his balls.
It's right above his dong.
I was blown away with Ben Affleck's terrible choice.
Well, I'm surprised that Michael Bay didn't have him go remove his tattoos because he had him remove his whole fucking teeth.
That's right.
He redid. He had him redo his grill.
He made Ben Affleck go get all of his teeth like pretty much capped.
He
like
looks good.
All redone. Like he didn't. Wow. And then he has Steve Buscemi on set. And I think he said,
"Oh no, Ben! Yeah, Steve's doing it too."
He said Steve Buscemi has a smile like a dream.
Speaking of,
and then Ben Affleck, he had like really thin teeth apparently.
Yeah,
and he made him just go get like $20,000 worth of work done.
I actually saw a photo. I was like, "There's no way!" And I saw a photo of his old teeth. I was like, "Man, good call, Ben.
Yeah,
like good okay. job, buddy. He looks very good with those teeth.
He does.
He approached Ben and said, "Ben, I love you, and you're going to be great in this movie, and you're going to be a massive star, but not with those baby teeth." Here's $20,000. Go get it.
We need your baby face, not your baby teeth.
Here's an extra $1,000. Get a barbed wire tattoo.
That's right.
They're hot right now.
You're on edge.
They're so hot right now.
All right, I got to bring this up, fellas. We're going to consult the Jarrett Layoff Confused Breakfast Actor Database that he's been so kind to put together with us. What actor in this movie has been in the most movies we've done?
Oh.
There's a lot of actors in this movie that have been in previous movies we've done.
I'm going to say Steve Buscemi at this point.
You think Steve Buscemi?
Or Max. I can't remember his name.
Ken
Hudson.
What do you think, Sean?
I'm going to say it's someone weird like Will Patton, but I don't remember him in any
no,
movie.
No, Will. This was Will Patton's first one of ours, I believe. Yeah. It is Steve Buscemi. Steve Buscemi has now moved into second place, tied with Keanu, one behind John Candy with six movies that we've done.
John Candy's first.
John Candy's one at seven. So Steve Buscemi might pass him up.
And then Peter Stormare's in this too. I mean, I know Fargo. Okay.
So four actors were three. Affleck's been in three. Kenny Hudson Campbell's been in three. Stormare's been in three. And Keith David's been in three.
What's the third one that he's
Stormare? Keith David? Oh, Stormare is Big Lebowski and Fargo.
Oh, that's right. Duh.
Keith David, The Thing, Roadhouse, and this. So, like, I love the Jarrett Layoff Confused Breakfast Actor Database. We have full
it's
access
so cool.
to it now.
I think that's really going to help us create our Rushmore because it's going to be an ever-changing Rushmore.
Yeah.
And now Steve Buscemi is on it, guys. I think that's amazing. Yeah. With John Candy, are you kidding? That's awesome. If I'm going to talk about Steve Buscemi a little bit more, I think it's how he basically got railroaded after he accepted the role.
Yeah. Okay, into this.
So he took this because he didn't want to be the kind of sleazeball character almost that he's been kind of pigeonholed at this point or typecast at this point up to this time. And he was supposed to be a very well-respected geologist turned oil driller guy. And after that happened, they wrote in all the parts about him being just a weird womanizer creep.
Kind of gross.
And kind of a gross dude. Yeah. And he was not happy about it. Because it was on the promise of him not being that way, and they wrote it in that way after the fact. It's kind of a bummer, actually.
It is a bummer. I mean, he's, like, very good at that, and I know that's why they wrote that for him, but like obviously he can do anything else.
But the moments that he has in this movie where he is not that character and he is the genius that he actually is, that you get to see, I love that so much more. Yeah.
How do you know that? Because I'm a fucking genius.
Because I'm a because we're kind of, it's when they get into the interviews.
We're doing like the their training and they're, yeah. they're getting their
Udo
physical
Kier
fitness.
As the therapist.
Isn't that awesome?
I fucking love Udo
Ron Kier. Camp.
Yeah.
Dude, they're going through that. And again, this is more just awesome, you know, character development, yep. or understanding and that you get from all of them in that room and going through the training. Awesome. It's so much fun.
I really think the majority of how much I enjoy this movie is this cast. This cast is incredible.
Wonderful ensemble.
It's perfect ensemble casting.
Yeah.
Michael Clark Duncan getting on the table and like,
what do you call it? It's called pork rind fit or something like that.
Yeah, look at this. You tell me I had too much pork rind. Yeah. He's so fucking awesome in this movie. My favorite scene, I think, is the list of demands.
Yep.
Oh, same. Yeah.
What do you like? This scene's so great, and I love what they come up. What are you asking for? If you're going on a mission that only has a 5% success rate, but if it works, like, you are the most important person in the history of the world. Mm-hmm. You can get whatever you want. What are you asking for?
I think no taxes is a fucking brilliant idea. Yeah, I just love how that's like a tag at the end. He's like, oh, and none of them want to pay taxes ever.
Steve Buscemi goes, hey, Harry, tell me. Hey. I got it. Also, they want to pay no taxes ever.
Ever.
I don't know. That's a fun one, but like, really, how much money is that over the course of your life?
I don't care.
Naked pictures of B. Arthur.
It's the Airheads thing. Football helmet full of cottage cheese.
Yeah. A brandy glass filled with brown M&Ms.
I'm going bigger, boys. I want my own private island.
Yeah.
Like, that's mine.
With jet.
I want the guy that Richard Branson's private island. I want you to basically be like, Richard, this is no longer yours. This is Mike. He saved the world. I want it.
I want 3-day work weeks to be implemented. Only 5 hours a day for those 3 days. I want summer break for every job out there.
So, okay. So I was going to say.
You're thinking too broad. This
so
is,
in your wildest dreams,
I just want the government to
still
fucking
work.
Collapse. That's all I want.
Sean, in your wildest dreams, you still work 5 hours a day, 3 days a week.
I can't not. I just got off a cruise and I was dying, dude.
I'm never going to work again and live on an island. Like, Sean's like, well, I just want to have good benefits. Like, I just want good medical benefits.
Well, if they could just up my dental, because I would love to have Ben Affleck's teeth.
You know what I really want is world peace and for teachers to get paid a little bit more.
World,
okay.
But he spelled it world peas as in the.
Oh my God.
You want peas?
I would actually go on Mike's train here. I would have two islands and one would be like south of the equator and one would be like up north. Okay. Where like on the, you guys know where Svalbard is?
No.
It's like north of Norway, might as well be what they consider the North Pole. I want a fishing village right there that I get to own.
Well, while you guys are off gallivanting
with my own jet,
with your private islands, and your private, I'm over here holding the fort down.
I know, still
making
grinding
sure
away,
making
15
sure
hours
America
a week.
Is still running. God damn it!
Drinking your Bud Light,
the working man.
I'll tell you
the
what,
working man.
Can I get a prop?
Oh shit!
Hell yeah.
Ooh,
here's a prop.
I want all of their demands laid out like a set list from Aerosmith.
Cool.
Nice. That's what I want.
Shit, Sean, what about you, man?
I'm going the drill bit. One of the drill bits.
Oh, good call.
I think that thing just looks fucking weird and nasty.
Yeah.
I want the animal cracker that was in Liv Tyler's pants. It's not gross. That is cinematic history. It's
not
gross.
Right.
It ain't gross. It's fiction.
I don't want to eat it.
Yeah.
Well, can we move along to scene 3?
I don't know. I think we should talk about this for several more hours.
You need to understand more of Mike's.
We'll do that on our Patreon episode. So after a meteorite strikes Shanghai, China, the incoming asteroid impending mission are revealed to the world. The Freedom and Independence shuttles are launched and dock at a Russian space station to refuel. Problems arise, causing them to abandon ship before the space station explodes.
Woo! Okay, I want to talk a little bit more about Ben Affleck and Liv Tyler fucking.
Ben Affleck.
So
hot, dude.
The animal cracker scene you touch on, you want to touch. I just like the line. Okay, I know.
So he's got an animal cookie he wants to touch.
I like the line where she's like,
it's a Days of Confused line. You ever think that anybody out there is like doing exactly what we're doing right now? It's like, oh, you mean the animal cracker thing? Absolutely fucking not. This is weird as shit.
Can we get the mashup now of just like, imagine how many people are out there just fucking, man.
And it's
just going at it.
There's Liv Tyler. Also, I love, like, I don't love, I guess, but they're Ben Affleck and Liv Tyler are in like the shuttle launch where the fire goes area. Just like, he's just like kissing her shoulder, and she's just like, oh my fucking God.
It's so bad.
Bruce Willis comes up and is just staring at them, and he's got to be pulled away by his buddies. Yeah. Like, they're like, come on, come
hey,
on.
Come
like,
on.
Like, no, I'm gonna make sure he fucks my daughter right.
Ugh.
Like, what are you doing, dude?
He keeps letting me down. He's not letting me down this time.
He's going down.
I do
go
wanna,
down on him.
I do want to read you do part it. Of the lyrics of I Don't Want to Miss a Thing, just to prove to you just how what a masterpiece this song is.
Okay.
I don't want to miss one smile. I don't want to miss one kiss. I just want to be with you. Right here with you, just like this.
Dude, I have been, it's so weird you brought that up. I have been thinking about that exact lyric the whole time.
I just want to be yesterday. With you, right here with you.
I just want to be here with you, right here with you.
Wait, do you want to be here with me, but right here with me, or right there with
so
me?
So is it like a emphasis on, I want to be here with you, right here with you. Like, is that?
Right. No. It's like a politician speaking. I want to be with you. Right here with you.
Robber, robber, robber.
Forever yeah. with you.
Forever. And we will go down on my daughter together.
Oh, I'm putting into legislation. Anytime you have a girlfriend or a boyfriend, you go down on them. You go down on them and you watch, your father's watch too.
Oh, stop it.
What?
No, it's like, but I agree with, like, the song... The idea of this happening,
you have 10 hours
family
left.
Circle.
I agree with you right here with you.
Yeah.
you have 10 hours left.
10 hours.
On Earth. Like, get to it.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. So it's like, so they do, I do like that they go through the explanation of this mission. Mm-hmm. Is this a Back to Future reference really fast? It's like, it's like, let's keep the laughter to a chatter. I know that the scale is not, or this model isn't to scale.
Ooh, maybe.
I totally, it rang in my head every time. But they go through this. They have one shot at it. They got to do the lunar as it passes the moon. So they know exactly when they have to go, right? And that's fine. Hey, all my guys need 10 hours. They get 10 hours off site. It's like, are you sure? Because we can't, because we literally have more training to do. There is more stuff that we have to train you on that you haven't even seen yet, like the machine gun.
We have a lot of things to talk about.
Why is there a machine gun?
What? Well, we didn't know what was going to be up there. If you saw any extraterrestrials, just shoot them this time around.
You see Starship Troopers, right?
Yeah.
Fuck, dude.
The arachnids. Oh, dude. But they just let them go off, and he says, I'm not asking you. It's like... At this point, we don't have to listen to you. Like, you need to get this done. I don't know. I thought this is a very weird part of it.
It's just another reason to send them off to all do their own things.
Yeah.
And I loved, to be fair, I loved all the montages up until this one. And then I was like, his second in command going and seeing his ex-wife, April O'Neil. And that fucking bullshit part of the story. Like,
that
don't.
Is April O'Neil. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, so she, after the Turtles thing in New York, she ended up losing her job.
Uh-huh.
Like, she just wasn't, like, getting into the office much. And she went on vacation one day, met this roughneck oil rigger, mm-hmm. just got off the rig with all this money.
Makes a lot of money.
They had their time, you know, and he just wasn't treating her right. And so she left him, you know. Yeah.
Had the kid on her own.
Had the kid on her own. She said the turtles will protect us.
Yeah.
I do like this a little bit. I think this is a very humanizing point for his sidekick his number two. Number twos always get relegated to just being like the tough guy who is basically a robot, you know? And so I do like that he's a pretty almost downtrodden guy.
Yeah.
And I do like this. I think that is a nice touch. It's the other part that doesn't make any sense to me of them going to the strip club And okay, I get Rockhound's mentality. He goes, gets $100,000.
Beautiful.
And then
just go for it.
You know what? He's already written this off.
He's smart. He knows this is not going to work.
Right.
He's like, all right.
He's genius enough to know that like it is that 5% success rate, right? He's like, so I know the numbers. So I'm going to go get $100,000. They go to the strip club. That's my least favorite moment of this movie is
fourth
with strippers and stuff. And then, by the way, it just happens to be a big, angry-looking biker guy, but he comes up with some pretty reasonable demands where he's like, hey, you guys are taking all the good action. It's like, why don't you spread it around a little bit? And then they're kind of dicks to him. It's like he's just asking, like, hey, can't we get, like, a couple of ladies down with us? Or can we join you? Why didn't they say that? I think he was being pretty reasonable, guys.
So yeah, I think so, too.
No, but no. He throws money. Why don't you go buy yourself a neck?
That's a really great line. But it's just so unnecessary. Like, having them leave, having these scenes, like, oh, you're going to go to get arrested. And then even, like, the leaving on the jet planes little thing, like... It was cute. Like, it made me laugh when Michael Clark Duncan started singing.
Yeah.
Like, they're completely all out of key. But it's just like there's so many things in this that could have been cut to make this movie. Like, you might be surprised at my rating at the end, but I think it could have been even better.
It could have been an hour and 59, not 2.5.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
This is like the shortest of any Michael Bay movie, too. Like, it's like there's all of his movies are way past 2 hours long.
Yeah.
For some reason. They just gotta add some more explosions in there and shit. Well, like, and also talking about Michael Bay real quick, in this, I think it's in this, when they're getting ready to launch scene, there's like, you know, the people hanging out the window with like slow motion, and like hair in the wind, and like the sun behind an American flag, but not as patriotic as Saving Private Ryan. But I just gotta imagine that, like, because this movie is so like America, fuck yeah, like, there's no other country involved.
No.
Yeah. In doing this, except Peter Stormare as the lone Russian,
shit dumb Russian,
he's solitary guy who's just gone a little crazy.
Dude. It is just like us watching a Scorsese movie and be like, "Oh, Scorsese," and Michael Bay is just like, "Oh, America! Oh my God!" Like he just comes on an American flag every goddamn night.
I think that's against regulation.
You can't do that.
Yeah,
not even Michael Bay can do that.
Shit.
What do you think about Peter Stormare, though? Okay, this is two-sided for me. One, again, we don't need the Russian space station. We don't need to go there. Like, we don't need to refuel. Go on your mission. I get it that maybe, like, scientifically it needs to happen, but we don't need it. But I'm glad they did it because Peter Stormare was perfect for this.
I loved seeing Stormare and Buscemi.
Buscemi again.
Yeah. Back together, like, just having scenes together. I'm like, fuck yes. That's
after
so cool.
After this again, yeah. Just another point of stress and, like, action and craziness. And why did it have to... Like, it seemed too easy for this to just blow up. You know what I mean?
He's been here for 18 months. It's been just
okay,
fine.
Okay, so Mr. Bay, right. I have this scene where the crew will go to the Russian space station, and he's like, oh, so can we blow it up?
we're
wanting to add a little bit more like flavor. We want to get like on the Russian side, like they, you know, the space race and everything.
Is
like
a Russian American?
He's like, we'll blow it up.
we'll get the Russian off.
Okay, I guess, yeah.
Well, you get him off. What do you mean? You like jerk him off and stuff?
But he's not American, right? He's not American. He's like, so we have to blow it up. Well, we want him to survive. So we're going to blow it up. Like, fine.
God, just fucking him in. Blow it up.
We can blow this up? Cool. Sounds good.
I don't know. It's to me, it's, yeah, it's just unnecessary. Like, even, in fact, what is the stat on this? Sean, you might even have this. They said something about how they show this to NASA. Mm. They show this to new recruits every year that they come into NASA, and they have them pick out everything that's wrong with the movie. Mm-hmm. That's like an assignment. I think there was, as of now, they have like 168 things that are wrong about this movie when it comes to space. And this is another one. Like, why the space station's there? Why not dock to the space station and then start spinning to create the gravity? When instead we're like, well, let's make it harder for him to dock.
Let's make this difficult.
Let's make it way more difficult for him to dock.
That sounds good. I think we're going to make it. How can we make this harder? Okay, cool. We think of NASA as this like crazy place of just absolute pinnacle of technology and just crazy ideas just floating around that place. 11,000 people just coming up with everything.
NASA, and never a straight answer.
That's right. Ooh, gotcha. Yeah, Roswell and shit.
Last podcast. That's not my joke.
But like, number one, NASA is like incredibly like probably underrated by us, you know, the thoughts of like what they can and can't do. They were their facilities are amazing, but a lot of their facilities, like especially like the command center, right? The only shot, real shot of a NASA command center is when Owen Wilson is playing around with the thing. That's where he's at. And it's the most boring room in the entire movie. And that's what he's doing, is working with that old comm system.
Owen Wilson's such a throwaway in this movie. Like, he doesn't need to be there, but
I love him.
That fucking line when he's saying, hey, do you know where Grace is? Yeah, I think he's with AJ. Did you say Grace? I thought you said Bear.
I thought you said Bear. Yeah, so good. So what's it going to be like when we get up there? And it's like, so it's scariest environment imaginable. That's like, that's all you have to say. Scariest environment imaginable.
We're strapped into a rocket built by the lowest bidder.
Yeah. Yeah. He is such a throwaway, and like, but I do love his little interjections. Yeah, right. You're right.
Well, let's go on to scene four. So, slingshotting around the moon, the two shuttles enter the asteroid's wake. The Independence is struck by debris, crippling its main thrusters and sending it crashing into the asteroid. The Freedom lands and begins work on drilling while AJ and Dropoff and Bear have survived the crash and use the Armadillo to head to the Freedom crew. Can I tell you the most fucked up stat of this movie?
Please.
When they land on the asteroid, there's still an hour left of this movie.
Yeah.
What? Where does that make sense? We've been watching this movie for an hour and a half, and you're still an hour left, and you're landing on the asteroid.
Yeah. Maybe you should have gone with the other version where Ben Affleck didn't sing for 3 minutes, and you just go with the one of him, like, you know, having an emotional moment with his future fiance, hopefully. How about that?
That was my version of an emotional moment.
It missed. Like,
again? Shit. Well, just so you know, I think this is my worst movie that I've ever done.
Yeah.
So, in my defense.
Yeah, that's your defense every time, Mike.
God damn it.
Okay. let's talk about obnoxious stats. 22,500 miles an hour. You can survive that? What is that? What do they say that is? Your G forces or
what they do? I think that's another thing that's wrong with this. They go around the moon and they eventually are going 22,000 miles an hour faster than that to catch up to the asteroid at what, like 12 G's for like
11 minutes. 11 or minutes.
It's not. You do not survive that. Like, it's not that. What is a G? Like, 2 G's is double your body weight in pressure. You don't like these fighter pilot jets can hit, like, remember Top Gun Maverick? Mm-hmm. Like, they were trying to be pretty accurate on that. They hit like 9 for like 10 seconds to get out of that thing, and they were all blacking out and shit. You know, like,
you'd be,
it's not possible.
It's just not possible.
That's why you have to be like the most peaks, like physical specimen, which, in order to do any of that.
Which the oil riggers were.
Which only Michael Clark Duncan is.
I don't know, that cholesterol's pretty high, dude.
That's what you need.
Cholesterol blocks your arteries so that you don't.
It's like your own body's fuel system on G's. It's just like, burning all my, and then he just comes out just fucking ripped.
Yeah, you're just building bricks in your veins with cholesterol.
Ripped. But that was the other thing though too of what was the other stat? Oh, this is the other big time jump.
Yes.
That doesn't make any sense. When they leave that Russian space station and they're like, oh, thank God we all got out of there. All right, well, we got 3 days till we get to the moon.
What are we gonna do?
Well, they playing cards. You can see when Truman comes up, he's like, all right, well, good morning, fellas. We got a big day. And you can see him on the back screens like Michael Clark Duncan laughing about stuff. They're just hanging out being buds.
It's true.
In their bunk beds for three days.
Space travel is hurry up and wait is all it is.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
So meanwhile, like, NASA's just sitting down there just like, is it time yet or... Or what?
They still have like 12 more hours.
Yeah, that they just have to sit and wait.
Yeah. When it's like, even like a crew member or like a writer on the film, one of the 20 writers on this film could have been like, so I think, Bay, this could have been like, we could have like some good like character moments like inside the ship, do some like maybe like do some zero G kind of stuff. It'd be kind of fun to visually to see them messing around. What do you think of that?
No, skip that shit. I need an hour on that fucking rock.
We need an hour on the rock. We're going to keep all throwing right. things at them that are going to make it impossible for them to complete this mission. Mm-hmm. We got to get them on the rock.
Okay.
And we're going to start with crashing one of the ships. Immediately.
Was that the Independence? The guy comes like streaking across the windshield like, eh! Yeah, I think that was.
There's a moment it's like the epitome of dark comedy to me in this plane crash or this shuttle crash. And it's the moment that like the pilots kind of realize it, but then it just cuts over to the co-pilot guy and he says, oh my God, this is it. And I'm like, that should not be funny. It's terrifying because he's realizing his own death. Complete and total consciousness on your deathbed. And that's what this guy has. And you're just like, that's terrifying. And he's dealing with this and I'm laughing, kind of.
Yeah.
I think it's hilarious. Especially when that guy comes and scrapes across the windshield. I fell out of my chair.
You're just waiting. All I was missing was the face going across. Like,
yes, exactly. I wanted that so bad.
Gosh.
This is like, I can't decide how I feel about this. When the, you know, the main pilot guy, I can't think of his name.
Willie Sharp.
Yeah. He's like, you and your men are the biggest mistake in the history of NASA. I'm like, yeah, they 100% are. This is the accurate. Dumbest idea. But then I'm also like, no, you're the idiot that landed 20-something miles off the landing zone.
Correct.
So, like, it's actually kind of your fault. But then also, they have these fucking armadillos. Why did they have to just start drilling there? Why couldn't they have gotten in it like AJ did and drove back to an area where they had good drilling?
I mean, I guess they don't know if they can drive. You know, they want to get as close as they can because they don't know the surface of it. But you would think they have done all these calculations and like, do they send satellites up to take pictures?
How do they know that this is the zone? Yeah, that's right.
How do they know that that zone is made up of this particular rock? Yeah, we sent drones up there. They figured it out for us.
Michael Bay drones.
They're intergalactic drones.
It's 100% true because why didn't... I think the reason is that... There was a river that blocked it, but they didn't have any bridging equipment.
Yeah.
And so they got to a fork in the road, and it said this way to Sector 8 and this way to Sector 9, like to Sector 10. You landed us in Sector 9. Dang it!
It's all mapped out.
Yeah, good. It's like this is the map that they have of this rock.
It is super funny how Bear's the biggest specimen to ever live and not scared of anybody, but he's scared of Andropov. Like, he does not like him drop off. He's like,
yeah.
like this crazy little Russian dude just makes him go, oh, God, I can't.
That's right. Buzz Ballads, baby. Every bad boy has a soft side.
You bet.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Come and get Papa Bear.
I love him in this movie. And audition, they loved his audition. So that, obviously, that's why they cast him. But he was, like, super nervous, like, right when he got on set. And Bruce Willis and Michael Bay like took him aside because he was like on the verge of like just like quitting, or they were on the
Who
verge
was?
Of
Michael
recasting.
Clark?
Yeah,
really,
they were on the verge of recasting him because he was like shutting down as soon as he was on
no
camera.
Way.
And so they took him aside and like, hey, here's the deal, man. We want you to do what you did in your audition. That's why we cast you. And so he just, you know, got the gumption from them and started acting his ass off like he always does. But yeah, he was that close to getting replaced.
That's Jeez. Crazy. I can't. I know this is a weird thing to say, but I would have a tough time with this movie without him in it.
Yes.
Same.
It's such a minor role, but I love it. That whole, if you recast that whole ensemble of the crew, this movie doesn't do it for me.
Yeah.
It was just perfect.
Yeah. The did you guys... Did it lead us to believe that that Ben Affleck ship was actually out, like out of commission? Did it lead us to believe like everyone's probably dead?
It led us to believe everyone's dead. Like we know that they're not, but you know everyone at NASA, it's like the bombs are on the table and only the audience knows, not the characters.
Okay, so we like before we see them like Ben Affleck kind of get back up and he's searching for the other guys and he finds Owen Wilson.
Yep.
Like, did we think that they were gone, though?
We did.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Everyone did. NASA thought they were gone. The other ship
audience
thought they
did.
Were gone.
Like, everybody did. Yep. Okay. And then we see it, and it's like, okay, we can't have this movie without Ben Affleck
and
Michael Clark Duncan.
Ben Affleck, dude.
Yeah.
Well, and
Ben Affleck.
Speaking to the power of the cast is like once Owen Wilson dies, I'm like, fuck.
Uh-oh. Mm-hmm.
That sucks.
It is. I mean, I think that's a good move though, because you have a very strong actor name attached to a character that is killed off like that.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's a strong move.
Yeah.
Let's do the final scene. The drilling does not go well, which threatens the government to try to remote detonate. Harry convinces them that he can do it. With the help of the Independence crew, they get the job done. Needing someone to stay behind to detonate the bomb, Harry volunteers and saves the world. The crew returns to Earth as heroes.
Oh, hell yeah.
What do you think about the Paris impact? Like, I thought the CGI, for the most part, was like pretty badass in this.
That was like light years beyond what the intro was. I'm like, what? How did they do that?
It was like, you're looking at a shot of the city that explodes and looks like it really happened.
Yeah.
I've seen the green screen CGI. It was a while ago. It wasn't actually during the research of this episode, but I have seen that where they used practical objects in front of a green screen, like that gargoyle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a practical item that they utilized to. And then there's some other things in there,
but
too.
But as you go back, it becomes
green screen. But it's green screen. And so they utilized that. And I thought that's what gives it so much depth.
Yeah.
And like, you know, even beyond, I know we're watching a screen, but, and then, which is a green screen then too, but it gives the more depth to it. And I thought that was a really cool, it is really good.
It's, and I read too on that Michael Bay wanted to do practical like miniatures, like they would have done in Terminator 2 Judgment Day, where the nuclear bomb scene, most realistic, you know, like we go back to our episode and, look at that. But, he wanted to do miniatures, like kudos to Michael Bay for wanting to do something practical. You know, explosions, I guess, are pretty practical, but that whole thing would have been like fucking pretty badass if they could pull it off. But still, the CGI, yes, I agree, did look great.
I've got to talk a little bit more about like just some of what NASA, you know, they use this kind of like the Top Gun idea, like you were saying, of like they almost wanted this as like the recruiting video of NASA, like they did Top Gun with Air Force right?
After Top Gun, I was thinking I want to fly fighter jets. Yeah. After Armageddon, I was like, I'm not going to space.
Exactly. There's so many aspects of it. I love hearing about everything that NASA has to offer. Some of the buildings they visit, the water facility
they were like one of the first people that actually had access to that, right? Civilians
that could actually go in it. Ben Affleck almost gets into an actual shuttle, but they caught him before he did.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like lots of like cool little things, because they use a lot of their real equipment and real settings. The massive hangars that they have that can create their own weather systems.
If they
don't keep the air regulated, it's crazy.
It can develop clouds that will rain inside of a building.
Yeah.
Because it's that big.
Its own system. And those are the crazy things like that do exist actually. But then you have all the other stuff that does not probably, like when they're tearing apart the armadillos, right? And they've got a gun in space.
Why do you have a gun in space? I'm Michael Bay.
I'm William Fichtner, directed by Michael Bay.
I love William Fichtner.
He is one of my favorite. And the urgency in his voice when they're defusing the bomb. Go, 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 go.
Like, so do a good job. Do a good job.
Do a good job.
Good job.
All that stuff, though, is like, it gets to be too much.
Well, and it's just nonstop. Like, I got to admit to you guys, like, okay, so they draw the straws. First of all, the two dudes with the most to lose are the ones that end up
going down.
Steve Buscemi's like, I'll do it. Russian's like, I'll fucking do it. Everybody's like, I'll do it. I got nothing to lose, but whatever. That makes the plot better. Dudes, I bawled like a baby.
Same.
When Bruce Willis's life flashed between his eyes and she goes, Daddy, no. I'm like,
I know.
Well, the whole scene.
I cried like a fucking baby.
I was going to say.
It got to me, man. I'm human. Like, this is a stupid fucking explosion Michael Bay movie, but that, I got
killed
me.
Killed me.
Those moments when, and again, it's how they want to play this emotion. Ben Affleck was a catalyst for a really big proponent of making this an emotional scene, not a tough guy scene. You know what I mean? Like between Bruce Willis and Ben Affleck, when he says like, you know, you gotta go take, that's your job now. You gotta take care of my little girl. And he lets him go and forces him back up the airlock essentially. I do like it when
I love you.
He's, you know,
like, come on.
That's
man.
The stuff he said. He's like, that's what I felt like I should be screaming, and Michael Bay let me do it. So
yeah, I mean, I yeah, it got to me. I'm human. Mm-hmm.
what can I do?
But, like, then they pull you right back out of it again when they're like, oh no, the engines won't start. Oh, okay, no, we finally got off. Oh, no, I got blown off, and I have to try to get... It's like, end the movie.
Will you just please? It's like, we're not anticipating him blowing the rock. We're anticipating you ending the movie, Michael Bay.
Well, they're also, like, their connection, like, AJ and Harry, mm-hmm. their connection is, like... Because they did this before, like, while he's drilling. He's like, no, I got this. Don't worry about it. Like, trust me. And then while he's on, they're, like, bouncing the shit out of this thing. He's like, I got this. You need to trust me, Harry. You need to finally. And then the camera, if you could, Craig, it was just also doing that.
Yeah.
God damn.
It's true. It's a lot of emotion. And the Liv Tyler one, too, is really good.
Yes.
Daddy, no. But I also think this this is one of the things that they probably did get wrong is that even if that explosion did break this into two, from what I understand, you're going to have massive, massive tidal waves created on Earth because of the gravitational pull and how close this is going to get to the Earth. That's even if it gets perfectly stripped in the middle, there's going to be more fragments that are going to come down and just rain hell on Earth. But it's just like, oh, we did it.
Thank
like
God.
It's over and we're going to land and we're going to be on this big runway and everyone we love is already going to be there. And like, I'm sure it's not weird that we were in space on some, you know, with lots of weird things and gases. I'm sure it's not weird that we're like hugging family members right away.
No.
It's fine.
Probably some sort of like weird chemical nuclear fallout because there's elements and materials in this rock we've never seen before.
We don't even know what
that
Steve
are
Buscemi
probably
didn't
poisonous.
Even see this. Yeah.
You know,
Steve
that
Buscemi
kind of
had space dementia. So.
He had space dementia, which is totally a real thing.
Yeah.
And then again, it's like, gosh, if anybody was ever really like sitting there thinking like in the audience, like, gosh, I wonder why Steve Buscemi's kind of acting weird. It's like William Fichtner's like, he's got space dementia.
He's got space dementia.
It's like, oh, thank God he created this exposition and probably whatever. That's my thing. There's a lot of time spent not thinking about how anyone who's not on camera is feeling at this time.
Hit it!
If we were on a train to go punch a face, I'm on board.
That's what I'm talking about.
You didn't want to tell your kid about your dad, and you told him he was a salesman, and you hate his guts. Now he saved the world, and you stupid-ass bitch, you're back on the runway saying, that's your daddy. I love you. I hope you get a lot of money. You're not paying taxes for the rest of your life,
You told me my daddy was the milkman.
Yeah.
Yeah,
April
he was.
April O'Neil can get punched in the fucking face. What a bitch.
I'm with you.
Apparently she's best friends with Jenny from Forrest Gump.
Yeah. Stabbing.
Yeah. I'm all for it, even though it seems like it's what Will Patton's character was what Chick wants.
Will Patton wants it.
But I feel still terrible about that. I think that's completely valid. I'm with you.
Okay.
Punch it.
Yeah.
What about the wedding footage to end the movie?
We don't need it. No,
thank you, Sean.
No, I liked seeing like the photos of the fallen because it made it more real again. Yes. Like to me, I liked seeing them. But other than that, I don't need another Aerosmith. The same other Aerosmith song. Let's get out of here.
Okay,
let's end it.
Out of here. Let's not Michael Bay this.
Yeah,
we're gonna un-Michael Bay this whole thing. We have talked about this with a modern eye. We got to give it modern ratings. AJ, what do you think about this thing?
Here's the problem, guys. I still have way too much fun watching this movie. When I watch it, yes, it is.
It is.
Because they lock you in for 2.5 hours doing it, and again,
we watch it 5 times a piece for these episodes.
That's true. And like, there is a point where it's like, how can you spend so much time in a movie and also not be thinking about everyone else who's not on camera, right? I think about that all the time now. After we've been doing this show for so long, is you think about all the people who are probably getting hell rained on them after they've exploded this thing. But thank God the NASA guy said over the intercom, oh, it looks like they're missing us by 400 miles and most of the other stuff's burning up. It's like, no, it's probably not true.
We still don't care about Manhattan, from earlier. Like,
correct.
We didn't give a shit about that.
We haven't rectified any of that. Wrecked them, damn near killed them. like you don't think about the people watching Liv Tyler in this most like awful moment of her life on screen with Bruce Willis, and it's like they put it on all the fucking TVs so everyone can watch. Guys, and it was just like, I thought this was like a personal moment.
Let's give her some privacy.
Let's give her some privacy, please.
Hey, put that on all fucking TVs.
Oh, this is really fucking sad. Anyways, guys, there's a lot of stuff like that about Michael Bay movies that drive me nuts. But there's one thing that he will always get right, and he will always pull some good emotion out of you somehow, some way, and he will always make it exciting. And I do have a really fun time watching this movie still because I love Bruce Willis, Ben Affleck, Liv Tyler, the whole cast. And it's not accurate, but it's so much fun. So I am going to give this a... what I think is my very fun movie rating, and that's a 7.5.
Sean, what about you, man?
Yeah, the cast is great. Michael Bay is a very fun filmmaker, very conflicting. I don't agree wholeheartedly with AJ when you say that every time he pulls emotion out of you.
Come on.
Every time.
Come on.
This one, definitely. I agree with that for me. Yeah. I think it's, you know, it's well made. It's exciting. It's anxiety inducing.
Yeah.
The cast is good. I know I already said that, but I can't say it enough. I find myself returning to this probably more than our next week's episode for sure. So I'm going to give this a 6.8.
6.8 for Sean. I was so ready to hate this. I haven't seen this in 20-something years. I'm like, this is going to be awesome. We're going to rip this apart. And we did. But yet, I laughed so goddamn hard in this movie. If you had somehow shortened up the asteroid scene and maybe just pulled some things out of this movie, I would have considered giving this like an 8.6 or something like that. But you make it go on too long. There's some things I didn't like about it. It's going to bring my score down. But overall... oh, this movie is awesome. 7.43 for me.
There you go.
Josh Miller, executive producer, says, that was a kick-ass ride. I genuinely tried to be more critical of this movie than I ever have. Sure, it's full of continuity errors, far-fetched ideas, some cheesy dialogue, and Michael Bay playing a scientist engineer. In the end, I still love it. For me, it all works so well. Overall, I think it's very well acted, well written. Until this viewing, I had no idea J.J. Abrams did the screenplay. Some of the cheesy lines were just that, cheesy. Some of them worked perfectly. Over the past 25 years, the special effects have held up pretty well. I miss practical effects, even if they don't look as good. I think Buscemi steals the spotlight as he usually does. I don't know why this movie has gotten the hate that it has. I also feel like it falls in line with the joke of it's the Nickelback of movies. People say they hate it. People say they hate it, but
Silver
also
Side
know,
Up's good.
They also know a ton of lines and do in fact enjoy it. I also never realized how long of a movie it is. That's because it's never felt like it's dragged on before. And after probably my 50th viewing, guess what? Still doesn't feel like 150 minutes long. Long story short, in my modern review, do I love it as much as I always have? Absolutely. It's a ton of fun. I can quote most of it. I'm always down to watch it. If I caught it on TV at any point, I would stop looking for something else to watch it and finish it. It's a Michael Bay film. You know exactly what you're getting each time. You will walk away thinking... or you will never walk away thinking it's the worst movie you've ever seen, and you know you aren't going to see an Academy Award winner, but hey, anything can happen. 3-6 Mafia have an Academy Award, so why not Bay? My modern-day score dips, but not much. I give it a 7.99.
Damn. Wow.
Lastly, if you guys were on the X-71 and say all the stuff broke and you had to give up, would you stay on the asteroid, fly off, but watch it hit Earth, or race home to certain instant death or the resulting equivalent of nuclear winter? I'd want to watch it hit Earth from space.
From space? So he's saying
if you're on the asteroid, do you want to stay on the asteroid? Do you want to just move off to the side, watch it hit Earth? Or do you want to get back to Earth so that you can die when it hits?
Oh, I'm staying on the asteroid.
I'd stay on the asteroid. You're not making it there before the asteroid.
That's you're right.
Yeah.
Come on.
But do you want to die? Okay, so you want to die when it hits Earth. Mm-hmm. He's saying he wants to maybe watch it hit Earth.
I mean, you're still watching it. You got a front row seat, bro.
You're probably going to die. I mean, if you're watching it, it's not that you're watching it hit Earth from the asteroid. It's you're on the asteroid that's going to hit Earth.
Yeah, yes. And so if you're afar watching it hit Earth, you're going to die a much slower death.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm on the asteroid all day, baby.
So listen to this. That
riding
is,
cowboy.
Overall, that is a 7.43. I don't know how you're going to feel about this. That is the 47th position of any movie we've done. That is just below Fast Times at Ridgemont High, just above The Fifth Element. Wow.
I don't.
Wow.
I think I like
0.01 above The Fifth Element. I would have liked them to have almost been the same.
I wanted them to be the same.
Okay.
But I wanted Fifth Element to be a little bit higher, but it is what it is.
It is what it is.
So
May of Bay Uncaged is an insane animal that we cannot control.
That's right.
So we hope you enjoy this episode. Thanks for being here. Tune in next week. May of Bay Uncaged continues with Bad Boys.
What you want?
Following that, we dip in, we put our little Nicolas Cage into the scene, and we do The Rock.
He's coming.
Bring it, Daddy.
And if you're new to the podcast, go back this time last year. Spaceballs, another outer space movie.
Hey,
you believe that?
A little more realistic than this one?
Probably.
Yeah, right.
Also, we have a voicemail. Don't forget to call us at 319-804-9596. Leave us some feedback like today's caller.
Hey, guys. This is Moonman Dickweed calling in from just south of Boston, Massachusetts. And I just want to say I'm a big fan of the show. I've been listening ever since Burnt Chrysler sent me over. Gone back and listened to everything. Love you guys. You're doing great work. I was listening to your Teen Wolf episode, and I understood there was a bit of confusion under the name Boof. And I just wanted to weigh in on that because, at least growing up for me and just all my friends and stuff, boofing was always understood to be when you intake certain substances through your butthole. So, yeah, I just thought it would be kind of funny to know. So, for example, like Stevie Nicks had a roadie help with boost coke, and my friend Norman questionably boosted a vodka tampon back in high school. Yeah, so just wanted to weigh in on that, figured I'd let you all know, see what your thoughts Thanks. Were there. And if I could suggest a couple movies, I would just say Rocky Horror Picture Show, that would be an awesome one.
Hell yeah.
And also Jason Goes to Hell.
You bet.
One of the later movies in the Friday the 13th franchise. I know some of y'all don't like to think they're spooky, but if the first 5 minutes on that movie don't sell you, nothing will. All right. Have a great time, y'all. Love the show. Keep up the good work, and I'll still be listening. Take care. Bye.
You say Spaceman Dickweed, I think his name
Moonman Dickweed.
Moonman Space Dickweed.
Nice.
All you had to say, you didn't have to like suggest any movies. That was the perfect phone call, man. Thank you for calling in.
Tell us something we didn't know. Tell us how great we are. Give some suggestions.
You could say we suck, and all, and what, you, and then you add on to the, my friend did
boofed a vodka tampon.
A boofed a vodka tampon.
I always remembered that being referenced as butt chugging, but that's fine too.
Boofing
and butt chugging, I think, are the same thing now. So that's great to know, though, man. And yeah, I don't like the spooky movies, but I'll give it 5 minutes. I promise. I will give it 5 minutes. Thank you guys so much for listening and watching, because we're on YouTube and you can watch us on YouTube. We would love for you to check us out on YouTube. You can also find us on any other social media outlet at Confused Breakfast. Just look for at Confused Breakfast or just Confused Breakfast anywhere on social media. Please check it out, guys.
You could also see our merch on our... You can also go to ConfusedBreakfast.com and see our merch. You can get some shirts. You can get some coffee mugs. I think you get some hoodies. I think you get some like lamps, some chairs, whatever you want. Just put it together.
Maybe you should go check out our website.
I probably should. I'd never do it.
You didn't say you get some cases.
The other place I don't visit is the same damn website where you can see our ratings. You can see where this fell is just below Fifth Element. How do you feel about that? I don't know. See where this movie fell in our individual rankings as well. Bye.
Check us out at patreon.com/confusedbreakfast. Support all of our sponsors. Everything's in the link of the show notes. We are part of the Upload Media Group. They produce this show. We got Craig on the controls, making us look awesome in the old studio. And we are on the Cloud 10 iHeart Podcast Network. Learn more there at cloud10.fm. That's it for us. I'ma get in it. Are you getting it? I'ma getting it.